Hello and welcome back to The Social Disease. I'm Bridget.
And I'm Jasper.
And this time around, we are covering Degrassi High Season 1. Very exciting stuff. We are almost done with everything. Not gonna cry about it right now because we still have some stuff to go. But today, specifically, we are covering way more interesting characters than we talked about last time. So thank you for bearing with us. If you listened to the last one and were like, yikes, middle school plots up the wazoo. Not even middle school plots, just boring ones. But today we're going to be talking about a few different characters. We're talking about a little bit of Arthur and Yick, some Caitlin, some Cloud, some Joey, just a little bit of everything. Claude, it's not happening right now. Claude. I don't even know how to spell that for me to remember. Two O's, two O's. Claude.
That's like clued.
I know, but like, what else am I supposed to do? So yeah, that's where we're going with today.
Yes, so we're going to start off with Arthur and Yick. So in the first episode of the season, Arthur is back from his summer trip in France with his mom, and Arthur ends up blowing off meeting Yick's new friends because what did Yick say? He like spent the summer hanging out in like the mall parking lot where he made some new friends or something. So Yick is like, "Hey Arthur, come meet my new friends." But Arthur's like, "Hey, I have to do rich things with my mom." So Yick gets mad at him that he says something to the effect of, "Just because you're rich now doesn't mean you need to be a jerk." So we see that the dream team are on the rocks at the start of this season. Soon after that, we then get into Arthur being horny once again, where Arthur has a massive crush on Caitlin and has been having very romantic and sensual dreams about her, where like they're like getting dinner at a fancy restaurant and like they're about to kiss, but every time they're about to kiss, he wakes up right before it happens. So he gets very excited when he gets paired with her for a French assignment, especially when he overhears Caitlin talking to Maya at lunch that she isn't really into Joey anymore and is thinking of probably cutting things off with him. So he goes to Yick to ask him for advice for what to say to ask her out. Yick just says, "Just do it. What's the worst thing that could happen?" So what ends up happening is Caitlin needs an excuse to get out of a date with Joey. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But she uses the fact that she has the French assignment with Arthur to get out of the date. She's like, "Oh, sorry, Joey, I gotta stay after school to work with Arthur." Arthur's just like, "Yep, that's completely true. We gotta work together." After they kind of pull one over on Joey, Arthur asks her out, but Caitlin says that they are better as friends. And kind of feeling embarrassed about the whole situation, Arthur ends up finishing the French project by himself. And Caitlin thanks him with a kiss on the cheek. And that's really all we get about that little crush there. The last thing that we get with Arthur is that I guess this is the grade 9 class, they're raising money for UNICEF by doing a school car wash. And Luke and Yick call Arthur a nerd who never takes chances. So to prove himself, Arthur suggests that they secretly raise money for TPing Mr. Radish's house because that was something that happened in the last year or something like that. He's like, "Oh, if you pay me money, I'll TP Mr. Radish's house and I'll take pictures of it." He also asks Gick to come with him to help him out. Kind of the vibe that we get is that Arthur is trying to reconnect with Yick after they've been on the rocks. So they end up going TP Mr. Radish's house late at night. They don't get caught, but Mr. Radish ends up seeing them run away. At school the next day, Mr. Radish is like, "Arthur and Yick, I would love if you would come clean up my house after school, please." So they do kind of end up getting in trouble for this, but after Arthur and Yick show the class all the pictures of the TP'd house, Arthur ends up being cool with the class again, and especially with Yick. So that's all we got for those two.
Well done. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, it's really only just Arthur and Yick and Arthur and Caitlin, right?
Yeah, so we'll take out the We'll do Arthur and Yik first. So, I don't know. I was kind of disappointed that we're immediately going into the whole Arthur is rich and Yik's still bitter about it thing. Like, I get it, Yik. You had a boring summer, and your friend went to Europe, and you're jealous that you hung out at the mall all summer and did nothing fun. That's not Arthur's fault. I'm so over it. It's so annoying.
Well, I do kind of see Yik's point of view, though, when Arthur blows him off. Like, Yik seemed genuinely excited to introduce Arthur to his mall friends. But then Arthur's like, oh, he was going to, like, an auction or something with his mom. Where it's like, you spent the whole summer with your mom. Go hang out with your old friend Yik, you know?
Yeah, I get it. But it's just kind of, like, overdone at this point. Like, if Yik is so bothered by Arthur being wealthy and doing wealthy people things, like, just move on then. Because it's not going to change. Arthur's never going to not have money anymore. You know what I mean? And I understand where you're coming from, where Arthur probably could have been more willing to go meet Yik's friends. But I don't think that it's ever, like, ill intention that he's going. It's not like he's going to go hang out with his rich friends. You know what I mean? I think that would have been a more interesting plot thing, is if Arthur made friends that were rich and did stuff with them. But it's really just his mom he hangs out with.
Yeah. Which is what's weird to me.
Is that he just loves hanging out with his mom. Well, his mom pays for everything too, so I'm sure that doesn't hurt.
I guess so.
But I will say they're pretty consistent with this, with him being rich. They have not dropped that.
Yeah.
But Arthur definitely still has money and they're still fighting over it as huge. But I do like that in order to repair their friendship, they do something so high school as to TPing the vice principal's house.
Yeah, like, I like the fact how Arthur was the one to kind of come up with this idea, because he knew that Yik didn't really like him anymore. He was like, oh, what could I do to kind of repair that friendship? Oh, let's do something stupid together. You know, I thought that was really cute.
I agree. I thought it was funny. And I love that they just, like, don't get in that much trouble. You know, they're kind of just like, you're dumb, go clean this up.
Yeah.
And they have, like, they have a good time. It's just fun.
And especially when they're like, oh my god, Mr. Radish doesn't have any trees. What are we going to do?
Yeah. It's so funny because you'd think, like, when you go to TV something, it's just all these trees. And he's like, well, okay. So good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Joey wasn't in on this somehow. They never did a TP plot before, right?
I don't think so.
For some reason, I feel like Joey would absolutely be part of a TPing Mr. Radish's house plot.
Yeah, he would.
So overall, Arthur and Yik are friends again. We know that I just kind of wish that they had more drama than just Arthur being rich and Yik being bitter about it, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, so obviously, I'm thinking of the parallels to JT and Toby, where it's different in the sense that, what is it? So JT parallels Yik and Toby right. Parallels Arthur. In this case, I guess Yik is the one who kind of, I guess they both kind of step away a little bit from each other, right?
Yeah, I think they both step away, and we kind of see Yik do other things like smoking cigarettes and like having different friends a little bit outside of it. So I still think Yik kind of fits into the JT category, but yeah, he's not as much of a main character as JT was. He's still the side character, and Arthur is still kind of the main.
Right.
Even though Toby isn't.
Right. So that's what's interesting. So I guess you could say it's a similar situation where both Yik and JT become more popular than Arthur and Toby, respectively.
Yes.
But in Next Generation, Toby was originally like the main character with JT as his sidekick. And then when JT became popular, Toby got left on the sidelines. Whereas I feel like Yik really only had things for himself in season one, right? That was where they had the whole, like, oh, my family's an immigrant, I don't want to tell the class, Mr. Radish is bullying me, those plots. Yik really hasn't had anything just for himself since then, which is kind of, it's different from JT in that sense, but also disappointing because I really like Yik as a character and I would really like him to have things going on for himself besides just I'm mad that Arthur is rich.
Yeah, I like Yik a lot too. I would love to see more of him. I think he has a lot of potential to be funny and a good actor, but we just don't really get to see it other than him as kind of like on the side, like background, or just like in Arthur's plots.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would have liked to see it. I think they kind of just ran with Arthur being rich and were like, yeah, we can like do more with this, I guess. And then his crush with Caitlin is kind of just like out of nowhere, in my opinion. But
yeah, it is.
Do you want to go into that?
Yeah, I think there, I'm trying to think of what happens next season. I think there is a little bit more with Arthur and Yik's friendship, but at this point, at least they seem like they're on the road to being best friends again.
I agree. I don't think they'll ever be the main characters that we want, because we do know that there's only one more season after this, unfortunately. But they had a lot of potential, and they kind of fit into the category of our last episode's characters. But if we put them with them too, it would have just been the worst episode ever. So we had to split it up a little bit.
One, Arthur also very much relates to Caitlin.
Oh, yeah, they sure do.
So, what do you think about Carthur? Artlin?
Artlin. So, like I kind of just said, it kind of fell out of nowhere. I was trying to remember if he had a crush on Caitlin at any point in the past. But I don't think so.
I don't think Yik had a crush on Melanie. I don't think Arthur has had a crush on anybody at this point.
Right, okay. I couldn't remember, but I was pretty sure that it was Yik who, because he asked Melanie out, and then there was a whole issue with Snake and like whatever. So yeah, this is the first time we see Arthur kind of having some sort of interest in somebody. And Arthur definitely, you know, he grew up. He's taller. He's looking like older. So is Yik as well, but we're not really talking about him right now. But now him and Caitlin are in the same classes together as well. The only thing I didn't like was that Caitlin was already dealing with so much on the side that it was kind of annoying that another dude was into her.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So Arthur definitely took it, like, the best. Like, in terms of getting rejected, Arthur handled it as best as I could ever have imagined anybody could take a rejection, you know?
Yeah. I appreciated that he kept pushing to make plans. He didn't just take the, oh yeah, we'll make plans for next week. He was like, nope, when? It'd just be easier if we planned right now. Let's do it. Let's plan right now. And she was like, no, sorry, I'm not really into you. But it also kind of shows how in high school you take like something and run with it. Like, he had no reason to think that Caitlin had a crush on him. Let's be real. Like, there was no reason other than his dreams for him to think that she liked him. And I feel like that just fits into high school so well. Like, you could have the biggest crush on someone who's never talked to you in your life, and you're like, I absolutely have a chance.
Yeah, because he was eavesdropping on Caitlin talking about Joey, and he's like, she's going to be single soon. It's my chance.
Right? Even though the only thing that they've ever done is work on a project together, and that's it.
Well, I think when Caitlin used Arthur to get out of her date with Joey so that she could go out with Claude, Arthur didn't know the reason why she was getting out of the date with him, but Arthur took the fact that she was using him to be like, ooh, this maybe means that she likes me because she's getting out of a date with her boyfriend using me.
Right, he really took that and ran with it. And he still held up his side of it, too, even when he asked her out. And she was like, no. But he still would have lied for her anyway.
Well, he didn't really lie. Didn't he just stand there? And he was just, like, nodding.
Yeah, basically. But he knew that what he was doing was not truthful, either.
Yeah.
But he still did it for her. Like, Arthur's just such a nice dude. Caitlin just has way too much going on for him, honestly. He needs, like, I wish him and Melanie were together. That would be cute.
I don't know about that.
You think her personality is a little too strong for him?
Yeah, I feel like Arthur is somebody who will thrive in college.
Aw, yeah, let him have that time. He's got to get a little bit older.
Yeah. Though, his dreams, though, like...
You know, I knew you were going to say something. These are, like, your favorite things.
But they weren't even, like, wet dreams. They were just, like, romantic.
I know. And then he kept waking up when he was about to get a kiss, and he's like, oh, ding dongs. Or like, oh, he just said the most ridiculous things when he would wake up. He'd be like, oh, whippersnappers. Like, it just was ridiculous. I loved it.
Yeah, so
I thought it was cute.
It was just very funny. Because wasn't it like, wasn't one of the dreams like where he locked Joey in a closet or something, right?
Yeah, he did something so that he, yeah, literally.
So,
or he was like tied up in the back while they were like on a date or something.
Right. So that was just like, oh my God.
Love that. The drama.
Yeah. But like I said, he handles the rejection really well. He basically kind of apologizes in a way to Caitlin for asking her out by finishing the French project for her.
But I think you're so right about bringing up the point that he took it so well. He really did. He could have been like, screw you, I'm not doing the project. Or he just was treating her so much better than Joey was treating her.
And Chloe.
And I understand that it was like a different situation for sure. But Arthur just like was never malicious. He was never mean. He never like blamed her for saying no. Like, he's just a nice overall dude.
Yeah. He's just needs to get over being rich.
That's all. He needs to use it in a way that is helpful and not harmful.
Well, has he used it in a harmful way?
I think he just like low-key ruins him and Yik's friendship, I guess. I mean, I don't think so, but Yik seems to think so.
Yeah, that's true.
Anything else for Arthur and Yik?
I think that's really it. This transitions pretty well into Caitlin because she, as we said, uses Arthur to break as kind of a way to break up with Joey.
Okay. All right, let's go into Caitlin.
All right. So, first episode of the season. Caitlin is checking in for class at the high school, and she ends up checking in with Claude, who is a grade 11, who immediately takes a liking to her, saying hi to her in the hallway the next day. Kind of a little meet cute going on there. And in a couple episodes after that, Caitlin has been acting cold towards Joey lately, and she isn't very excited about their date on Friday. At the same time, she has been talking more and more with Claude. Her friend Maya calls her out on this, but Caitlin says that they're just friends. However, when Claude invites her to a foreign movie that Friday, she says yes, kind of forgetting that she had a date with Joey. But when she realizes this, she's like, ah, shit, I need a reason to get out of it with Joey. So as we said, she ends up using her French assignment with Arthur as an excuse to get out of the date with Joey and goes on the date with Claude. Again, she ends up rejecting Arthur in the process. Soon after that, Caitlin is continuing to blow off time with Joey and spends more and more time with Claude. Maya tells her that she needs to break up with Joey to not hurt his feelings. It's very obvious that she's into Claude, and it's just not fair to Joey to basically cheat on him at this point. When Claude ends up getting her a nice earring and kisses her, this prompts Caitlin to finally talk to Joey and break things off with him. She kind of tries to let him down easy, saying that, like, oh, we haven't really been getting along well, right? Like, whatever. But Joey ends up figuring out what's happening, that it's the fact that she's into Claude, and he gets really sad about it. We'll talk a bit more about Joey's sadness when we talk about Joey. A couple episodes after that, Caitlin volunteers to partner with Joey for another class project, because she feels bad about the way that they ended things, and she feels the need to tell him that it wasn't his fault that they broke up, and it was pretty much all on her feelings for Claude. Joey ends up asking what he did wrong or how he can change, and Caitlin says that there's nothing he could do because she doesn't like him anymore. Okay, now that Claude and Caitlin are officially together, we find out that they have been volunteering at this organization called People for Peace that lobbies against nuclear weapons. which annoys all of Caitlin's friends, especially Maya, because they are fundraising for UNICEF, and Caitlin's kind of blowing her friends off to do this thing with Claude. They find out from, I think, the newspaper that a factory nearby is part of the making nuclear weapons, making parts for them. So their organization is beginning to lobby against this factory, but Claude thinks that it's not fast enough, and he wants to take matters into his own hands to be a revolutionary and make change. So he makes a plan to get some spray paint and paint anti-nuclear weapon messages on the factory. And they make a plan to do this late at night. So they head over to the factory, they hop the fence, but at one point a security guard shows up, and they try to run away. Claude gets over the fence, but Caitlin ends up getting caught in the fence, and Claude doesn't stay to help her. He instead just runs away to save himself. Caitlin ends up getting arrested and has a court date in a couple weeks because of this, and she gets super mad at Claude for abandoning her. And also, Claude makes it even worse for himself when he tells Caitlin, like, please don't tell anybody that I ran away. It would not be a good look for me, and also my parents will kill me. So this makes Caitlin even more angry at him. We then skip a couple episodes where Caitlin is worried about her trial that is happening at the end of the week, and Claude comes up to her to apologize again about everything that happened, and he says that he will come to the trial to support her. She ends up running into Joey, I think at the cafeteria, who makes a remark about how Caitlin plays with guys' feelings after he has apparently heard that she and Claude are on the rocks. So she kind of gets angry at that, and she gets even more angry once again when Claude then comes to her to say that his parents won't let him miss school for Caitlin's trial. And this pisses Caitlin off extremely because he's the entire reason she's in trouble, and he's not taking any responsibility for it. So she ends up accidentally hitting him in the face, causing him to bleed. So she ends up getting sent to detention, where Joey happens to be after a fight that he had with Dwayne. And they kind of have a little tiff in detention, where at this point, Joey is in his feelings about having a learning disability and is thinking about leaving school. And Caitlin ends up giving Joey a reality check about that. But on her end, she doesn't really feel any better about herself. She actually kind of feels bad that she hurt Claude. But Maya says that she canceled a doctor's appointment that she had so that she could go to the trial with Caitlin to support her. So once again, Maya is a legend. Okay. A side note, this isn't really a Caitlin plot, but Caitlin ends up starring in Lucy's horror film, and she agrees to it because, quote, all of the boys die. So I think that really clues us in as to how Caitlin is feeling this season towards all of her love interests. Okay. And then finally, in the last episode of the season, Miss Avery, who has been working at the resource center / the library all year, is catty to Caitlin when Caitlin drops off a library book. And when Caitlin kind of goes back to see what's going on, Miss Avery apologizes and tells Caitlin that the school board has decided to fire her. So because Caitlin likes Miss Avery so much, she ends up starting a petition that she calls a letter of protest multiple times. She doesn't want people to call it a petition for some reason, but she gets a lot of people to sign it. And when Mr. Radish finds out about this, he says that Miss Avery actually knew the resource center job was only for a year and that she didn't take the job offer that the school district offered her. So this makes Caitlin mad, thinking that Miss Avery lied to her, and also exacerbates her feelings that she hasn't done a single thing right the entire school year. So when she runs into Miss Avery, she kind of calls her out for lying, and Miss Avery says that she was offered a rotating sub position, which isn't the true teaching position with her own class that she wants. And Caitlin says that, oh, any teaching is better than no teaching, like, you should just take the job. But because now rumor around the school is that Miss Avery is going, they throw her a going away party. Caitlin shows up to apologize, and Miss Avery says that Caitlin's, I guess, talk to her inspired her to apply for a job at the Rainbow Valley School District. I don't know if that means anything about Miss Avery, but we could discuss it, but it makes Caitlin happy that she was able to at least help one person in this entire season.
Wow, what a way to end that. That's so true. Okay. Where do we start? There's so much.
Do you want to do the little love triangle?
Yeah, let's do it. So Caitlin's like definitely being shitty. Let's be real. But also, like I said, I don't really understand dating back in this time period. Like, are her and Joey exclusive? Are her and Joey just seeing each other? I think she's 100% right in the fact that Joey doesn't give a shit about her. Like, we're watching this. Honestly, I never would have guessed they were even dating.
Right.
Had it not been, like, stated. You know what I mean? Like, we don't see them together, really. They don't even sit together at lunch. Like, she's sitting with Clued. You know, like, I don't know. What do you think? Like, does it even feel like they're dating at all?
No, which I think is kind of weird. I guess it kind of makes sense because last season they were kind of on and off for a while because Joey kept blowing Caitlin off. And then wasn't it like the end of year school dance? He like blows her off, but then says, actually, never mind, it's still on. And she shows up anyway. So I guess it makes sense that she's not fully invested in their relationship to begin with because it had such a rocky start. I guess I kind of wish there was a bit more of like a catalyst as to why she is now not interested anymore at all.
Well, she kind of said why. She said that Joey doesn't care about anything but himself and his music. She was like, all we do is when we talk is talk about him. And all he thinks about is his music and the music video. I think that's plenty of reason to not want to be with somebody if you never, like, she even said they have no shared interests either, which is so true. I think they just had the general attraction to each other. Like, she liked Joey's personality, how, you know, he I don't even want to say, like, suck up is the word, but he tends to say, like, the right things when he likes a girl, right? You know, the compliments, and he's always says, like, nice things, but he just falls into the category of he's just so immature, and there's just nothing that you can do to change that at that point. That's on him.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But I'm not rationalizing what she did. Like, I don't know if it falls in the category of cheating because they weren't boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't even know. I don't even know what they were. I think that's why it's like hard to say whether or not it was cheating.
Well, I think the fact that Maya called her out for it means that, like, even if they weren't quote unquote going steady, it was still sketchy what she was doing with Claude.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think that's a good way to put it. Like, it's what she was doing wasn't a good thing.
Yeah.
Which is, but like, why do you think it took so long for her to end things with Joey? I feel like it would have just been so easy for her considering she didn't really like him.
I think she was just afraid of confrontation.
That's so interesting considering that she's not afraid to do like protesting or talking to adults about things. But with this, she just couldn't end it with Joey. I also get it too, because she did like him first when they first started dating, and she kind of like had to wait for it to happen, and then it happened, and now she's like, I actually don't want this anymore.
Yeah, I think maybe it could be that she cared about his feelings, whereas like with her protest things, she didn't really care, or maybe she wasn't thinking about other people's feelings. But she knows if she's going to break up with Joey, that's going to hurt him. So she's like, oh, let me just put it off until I have to.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that they were going to break up regardless. Like, it sounds like she was unhappy from the beginning. It just includes speed up the process there.
Yeah, Claude being so old and artsy and mysterious, like she couldn't resist.
Right. He's older, he's more mature, he's got the same interests. Like, why would she not be? He's got that facial hair. Yeah.
I just love
it. Makes sense.
I just love how she has to correct everybody because nobody can pronounce it correctly.
She's like, it's actually, even I can't pronounce it correctly, because like, what kind of name is this?
Like, it's spelled like Claude, but it's pronounced Claude, but it also kind of sounds like cloud.
Yes, because it's spelled C-L-A-U-D-E.
Yeah.
And A-U says aw, so yeah, it's annoying.
But I think his name really fits with how pretentious he is.
That's so funny. It's literally what I was thinking in my head. Yes, absolutely. He's
the
so
fact that the fact that he has kind of an esoteric way of pronouncing his name just really fits with his personality of like, oh, I am in high school and I am like, I'm into foreign movies and I'm going to take it upon myself to dismantle this factory with nuclear weapons.
Kind of sounds like someone we went to high school with, kind of.
Oh my god, I did not consider that at all.
It just came to me now, but like how true though.
Oh my god, yeah. But in terms of Degrassi, I think Claude is like the OG Eli. But the difference is that Eli has balls. Claude does not have balls at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, does it tie to the fact that Eli is pretty mentally ill? A little bit.
Yeah.
But he follows through, though. He does. Like, for Claude to not go to court to support Caitlin because his mom said he wasn't allowed. Dude, you were, like, sneaking around at night and shit, and now all of a sudden you care what your mom says? Please.
Yeah, like, even, like, the breaking point, right, was when Claude abandoned Caitlin. And it's very much the point that if you stayed to help me, neither of us wouldn't have been caught. But because you are a wimp, like, you talk the talk, but you can't follow through, you can't walk the walk, he's just a bitch, you know?
Yeah, he's not what she expected, and I can see where she probably regrets her choices. But I think, honestly, for her, she's better off with neither of them. Joey doesn't fit for her. He's too immature. He only cares about himself. They don't have any shared interests. Claude was just the worst and a big baby and, like, too pretentious. She just needs a break.
Yes. No boys.
No boys for Caitlin. I do see how she got swept up in it, though. I really do. It makes a lot of sense. Like, she... because who was she hitting it off with before that? Rick, but then he left. And for her, I think this also is the first time she's interested in somebody who doesn't need to, like, be quote-unquote fixed. Like, I don't think she's looking to try to change him at all. You know what I mean? Like, she dated, or she was interested in Rick, and everybody was like, you only like Rick because you see him as, like, something that you need to fix.
Right.
Or that you can save. And Joey, she's, like, interested in, but, you know, same thing. He got held back. He's not super smart. She, like, feels this sense of, like, I need to help him with school. I need to help him, you know, with this class. Like, the fact that she has to do this project with him after they broke up was so mean. I was like, what are you doing?
Right? Like, with that specifically, I was like, you just feel guilty that you were leading him on while you were seeing another guy, and you want to make yourself feel better about it.
Exactly. There's no need for them to work together on that project. It didn't make any sense that she offered, like, give him some time and move on.
Yeah. But yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense with what you said about not feeling the need to fix Claude. Like, I wouldn't necessarily say that they had common interests, right? Like, I wouldn't say that Caitlin was into foreign movies or anything before this season.
Yeah. But
she was just into him because it's like, he's a cute, apparently, older boy who is also into social justice, at least, and she's really into that. And actually, mm-hmm. I did want to mention the older boy thing with respect to Kathleen as well, where I think freshmen, we talked about this with Allie, I think, where freshmen often chase the upperclassmen boys because it's like the thrill of dating an older boy type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's a maturity level to it. Like, you get to do cool things. They're allowed to, like, go out at night. They're allowed, they might have a car. Like, yeah, absolutely.
So it makes sense why she likes him. I just wish Claude wasn't such a bitch.
That's so funny. Yeah, I think it just it goes to show that it doesn't always work out. Or what was, oh, I just read this awesome thing online. A crush is the absence of knowledge. Like, she had a crush on Claude based on what she thought he was like. And then the more she got to know him, she's like, oh shit, he's actually like not a good person.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? I think that's kind of what happened here. Like, she was like, oh, this looks way better than what I'm doing right now with Joey. Let me do that instead.
And like, even if you just consider what you said with like Joey isn't giving her any attention and like asking her about herself, Claude is. So kind of that dichotomy makes it very easy for her to like him.
Exactly. I think we're on the same page with that for sure. We understand why she liked him. And we both understand why it had to end, because he's a bitch.
Did you have anything specifically about the protest outside of the context of Claude or even the court date?
I mean, it kind of just fits into like Caitlin's personality. You know, she's still doing the protest. She's still standing up for what she wants. Like, her stuff is getting bigger and bigger. You know, we went from the nuclear plant in the first season as well, or the second season. There's always just been something she's always working towards.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, just one more thing. I don't mind it. I think it just keeps her character consistent. But do you have anything for that specifically?
I just thought, like, they made the point that Caitlin's mom was, like, arrested for protesting at one point when she was younger. So Claude was like, oh, your mom was also arrested, so it's completely fine that you did. And it's like, dude, she is like 14 years old having a court date. That is not a normal thing.
Right? That's so not normal. And it also just goes to show that Caitlin should have been Emma's mom, but whatever.
They would have been too chaotic if Caitlin gave birth to Emma.
Yes, you're right. But it makes sense also why Caitlin and Emma hit it off too.
Yeah.
They're very similar.
Yes. Okay. So because of all of this nonsense that happened, leading Joey on, getting arrested, having a bad breakup with Claude, she broke his nose. Caitlin feels that she is kind of worthless, or like she can't do anything right. And that's when the Miss Avery plot comes in to kind of like make her feel a little better about herself. So what do you think about that?
I think it was good because it showed once again that Caitlin is so quick to jump to things without getting the complete story or thinking about the other side of things. Like, I think a lot about that poor girl. I don't remember which character it was, whose dad worked for the makeup company.
Yeah.
And also the fact that her seizure medications were tested on animals and she was just like, oh my gosh, there's a whole other side to this. Same thing with the Miss Avery thing. Like, Miss Avery didn't tell her about her shutting or not taking that rotating teacher job, which I don't think was Miss Avery's, like, Miss Avery didn't have to tell her that anyway. Like, I don't think that it was like purposefully left out. I just don't think it was any of Caitlin's business. But for Caitlin to immediately go like, okay, now we have to keep her job. And then her learning, like, just kidding, that's actually like not a thing that's going to happen. I don't know.
Well,
I liked that she was doing it, especially for since she's been like so kind to like her and Miss Avery have like that relationship.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do you think? I just like it's kind of like hard because like I don't really know what Caitlin like wanted out of this. You can't just like make a position up for a teacher. Like, that's just not how life works.
Well, I think it was kind of Miss Avery's fault in that she kind of lied to Caitlin. Like, she didn't need to say that she didn't take a job, but Miss Avery said that she was fired when that wasn't the case.
That's very true. That I can definitely get behind. Like, do I think Miss Avery needed to tell her every detail behind that? No. But was Miss Avery fired? No, she definitely wasn't. She took a 1-year job. She knew that it was going to end. So yeah. For her to say that she got fired and she's so pissed and blah, 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 like, sorry, girl, that's how teaching is. You take a 1-year job, like, there's no guarantee you're going to get another job. if anything, them offering her the sub thing just makes so much sense, because that's exactly what my job would have done had it been that situation. And for her to not take it, like, again, that's on her. Like, she chose not to take it. I don't think it's, like, yeah, it would be nice to have your own classroom and be an actual teacher, but if there's no positions, it's not the school's fault. So, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at with it. I think, yeah, she kind of led Caitlin the wrong way.
I agree. So, like, Caitlin was misguided, but it's not like she, like, she was, it wasn't her fault, necessarily. Whereas, like, in the animal testing or, like, the Spike PTA letter thing, that was very much a case of Caitlin not getting all of her facts. Whereas here, Caitlin was kind of purposefully misled. I mean, Miss Avery didn't tell her to fight for her to stay, but Miss Avery was not being truthful to her. And I think that's the larger problem here.
Right.
So I think Caitlin's anger towards her was justified.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that. I also think that Miss Avery should have known that Caitlin is this kind of student.
Right?
But take something and run with it, for sure. But I do appreciate how Mr. Radich, like, came across with it. I think that him being honest with Caitlin was what she needed to hear in that moment, honestly. Because otherwise, it just would have been a whole mess of stuff.
Yeah.
So then Miss Avery's not in the season next season?
Yep, this was Miss Avery's last episode.
Such a bummer. I wonder why her actress was, like, not in it.
Who knows? But she's off to Rainbow Valley.
Yeah. I didn't even catch that. So I don't know if you're taking an idea and running with it.
She's gay. Lesbian. Oh. Lesbian. Lesbian.
Your fave. Yeah, no, you're not wrong. There's definitely some vibes there.
Yeah, I do think this was, like, a very well done episode. One, to send off Miss Avery. Like, Miss Avery is, with Mr. Radich, the most important adult character in the show. So it was nice to give her a whole send-off episode for her. But then they tied it very well into Caitlin's season arc of messing everything up and then ending it with her kind of helping Miss Avery out a little bit. So I liked that, especially because, like you said, she and Miss Avery have that history.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I love that you made that connection. That's good. Anything else for Caitlin?
Yeah, I would say overall, this was a pretty good season for her. Like, the classic boy problems, but it didn't feel like boy problems somehow.
I agree. I think because we didn't really know her and Joey were dating. You know what I mean? We didn't have, like, a really strong connection to her and Joey enough for us to, like, be mad that she's cheating on him. I feel like, if anything, we were kind of rooting for her to be with Cloud, even though he's kind of a dick. Claude.
Well, we'll come back to Claude next season.
Oh yeah, we will,
unfortunately. Okay, so close things off with Joey.
Let's do it.
All right, so Joey Jeremiah, he is finally in high school. He got held back a year and he has finally made it to the ninth grade as probably a 16-year-old at this point. But the beginning of the season, all of the Degrassi Junior High students are now at Degrassi High, and Dwayne, the person who beat up Joey a couple seasons ago, he is at Degrassi High, and all of his bad guy friends, I guess, decide to bring back initiation to Degrassi because it's been gone for the last couple years, and now there's all these pipsqueaks around. So, throughout this first episode, we see Snake, like, trying to avoid getting hazed, but they, like, chalk him up. I don't even really know what happened. He gets a ton of white crap on him. Some of the upperclassmen tie Kathleen and Melanie to a flagpole in their underwear. So, foreshadowing for Drew, maybe? Who knows? But soon, Joey starts to think that he's safe because he hasn't been hit yet. But at one point, he notices Dwayne and his friends coming towards him, and he tries to run away, running into the girls' room. Very embarrassing, obviously. He does ultimately get caught by Dwayne, and they force him, they, like, tie him up and, like, force him to push a banana up the ramp by his nose. And of course, Mr. Radich, who is now the vice principal, catches them. So Dwayne and his friends run away, and Joey apparently gets in trouble for getting hazed for some reason. But I think biggest part of this was throughout this whole first episode, we hear Mr. Radich's voice over the announcements, and people are like, oh no, that can't be Mr. Radich, he wouldn't be here. So then it's a gag when it's like, oh, it's actually him, and he's the vice principal now. Little fun first episode there. We then have a little mini arc where Joey, Wheels, and Snake are trying to make a music video for their hit single, Everybody Wants Something. So Joey asks Lucy to use her camera to make a music video. They have rebranded as the Zits rather than the Zit Remedy for some reason. And Lucy agrees, but she says that she has to be the director because it's her camera. Joey starts like planning out this music video. He wants a lot of girls in bikinis to like dance around and like fawn over him and the guys. He asks Caitlin to do this. She says no, obviously. So he ends up asking Amy and Allison to do it, and they agree to for $20. And this actually pisses Snake and Wheels off because they are the ones with the budget, like with the money for this music video, and Joey just threw it away at Amy and Allison. And at the end of the episode, when Lucy finds out that Joey is planning to have girls in bikinis, she's like, that's sexist, and just takes her camera away. And Snake and Wheels are pissed at Joey for not consulting them about anything about this music video. Joey apologizes and says that in the future, he will include the boys in group decision making. Later, they have come up with a new script for the music video that does not have girls in bikinis, and they pitch it to Lucy. She has them revise it because she still thinks it's a little sexist, but the boys ultimately end up with the idea of using Clutch's car because it is like the coolest thing at Degrassi, apparently. Clutch initially is like, I'm not going to let these underclassmen use my cool car, but when he hears that Lucy is involved, he says yes. Lucy, when she hears that Clutch has says yes, is like, oh, I don't want to do it with Clutch. He was a drunken asshole to me last season. But the twins, Heather and Erica, convince Lucy to do it because Heather has a crush on Wheels and wants to spend time with him. More on that later. But ultimately, they have a fun time making the video, but Joey isn't really fully into it when it's happening because Caitlin had just broken up with him right before they started filming. So Joey kind of puts on a happy face throughout this whole like music video making process. But at the end, when they are all going to dinner, Joey doesn't join because he is in his feelings about getting dumped. Later, we have a little episode where Joey convinces the guys to go to a strip club because there's like half off tickets to get into the strip club. Snake can't go on like the day that Joey wants to, though, so they wait till Friday. And of course, the half-off deal does not apply on the weekends when they show up, so they don't have enough money to get all three of them in. So they end up drawing straws, and Joey ends up getting left behind. He ends up just chilling in the strip club parking lot for the night, and he ends up getting hit on by a stripper, and he like gets freaked out that this older woman is flirting with him and goes home. Meanwhile, Wheels and Snake are in the strip club and they get drinks, but they get kicked out because they can't afford to buy more drinks. I don't really know what kind of strip club this is that they like make you buy alcohol, but I don't know, they get kicked out. And on Monday, when they all meet up again, Wheels and Snake lie and say they had such a great time at the strip club and they don't believe that Joey got hit on by a stripper. I don't really know what the point of this episode was, but it happened. We then have Joey and Snake start taking driving lessons. And being boys, apparently, they are very overly confident in their abilities to the annoyance of their driver's ed classmate, Nancy. Snake has a bad first time driving. He ends up hitting all of the cardboard pedestrians. And both Joey and Snake end up failing the driver's test. Nancy ends up passing and rubs her new car in their faces. Okay. So I think that's it for the stupid plots. So we finally get back to Joey, and he is excited that he finally got his license, and he is excited that he tried for an English assignment for once, and he's looking forward to getting his first good grade. he doesn't actually do well. I think he gets a D or something. And Mr. Walfish, the English teacher, reminds him of the tests he took the week before, like psychology tests. So at the meeting with the psychologist later that day, his mom comes in and they tell him that Joey has dysgraphia, which is kind of like dyslexia-ish. And the psychologist suggests that Joey does one period of special ed every day. So Joey gets in his feelings about this. He's like, oh, I'm stupid. Like, what's even the point of going to school if I have this disability? And he seriously contemplates dropping out of school. He ends up getting into a fight with Dwayne in the hallway when, like, they bump into each other and Dwayne calls him stupid. Joey gets sent to detention. I think Dwayne gets suspended. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, Caitlin is in this detention period because she hit Claude in the face. And they kind of have a little argument in detention where Caitlin gives Joey a reality check that he isn't stupid and that he had more guts when they were together. And because of this little pep talk argument thing, Joey decides to stay in school. And then finally, we have Snake has not passed his driver's test yet. He's failed a couple times. And now his next test is during finals week. So he's like, oh, I'm so stressed. So he starts kind of having a placebo illness. He's like, oh, I don't feel well. He goes to the nurse. Nothing seems to be wrong with him. Wheels tells him to relax by giving him some breathing exercises, just going breathe in, breathe out. And Snake ultimately passes the driver's test. After his final exam, Joey is worried about flunking again, getting held back, but Wheels tells him not to worry because there is nothing he could do and reiterates his breathing exercises. And yeah, that's really it for Joey and the Zits.
Woohoo! Joey and the Zits. Okay. So we got like a different Joey. He's a little bitter, but he's growing. He's growing up. Finally figuring out why he's failing all the time.
Yeah, honestly, like when his mom asked, like, how did it take this long for us to find this out? I was like, yeah, how? He already got held back once.
Right? Yeah. So where do we want to start before we get into it?
Do you want to just go with the silly plots first, like the hazing and the strip club and such?
Yeah, let's do silly first, and then we'll get into the deeper stuff after that. So I guess starting with like the initiation stuff, because that's really like what we first kind of see at the high school. Is this like, what even is this? Is this a Canadian thing? I don't really remember much hazing going on except for when we would have like pep rally day and they'd be like, tag the freshmen. And they were like, you're not allowed to tag the freshmen. Like, that's about it.
Well, I do remember in both my first years of middle school and high school, I was worried about like Freshman Friday. Like,
Oh my gosh.
Like, that was like an urban myth that I feel like I always heard about where it's like, oh, bad things are going to happen to the freshmen on Freshman Friday.
That nothing ever happened.
Yeah, nothing ever happened, but I do remember like being anxious about it. I was like, oh, is this like a real thing? I don't know.
Right.
So like, I'm sure it's like a real thing somewhere, but it's like, I feel like it's definitely a thing on TV shows, right? I feel like growing up, there was always like a hazing type of thing on TV shows.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think it's kind of funny too, because the dude who, like, Dwayne is always like, why are they even here? It's like, what's the option? Like, at this point, some of these kids are sophomores because they've been like traveling back and forth from the, you know, all last year they were traveling back and forth, and now they're here and they're in 10th grade and you're still like, what are these fresh, like, where else are they gonna go? Like, this happens every year, they always get freshmen, like, what is happening? So I just think it's so silly that they're just like frustrated that these younger kids are there. Like, it isn't going to happen every year forever.
Well, I guess that could actually add up with what I said earlier about like the Dorothy's class.
Yeah.
Like, they're apparently they should be eighth graders.
Right.
So maybe that is like part of the issue where it's like we actually have like middle schoolers at our high school now.
Right. And I guess that's definitely weird, but for Dwayne to just take it out on them so violently is so annoying to me.
Yeah, like the whole with like the courtyard, right? It was like new students can't walk through the courtyard, you'll get beat up.
Right, there's that. They're like saran wrapping. Who is it? Kathleen and Melanie. Yep, there's saran wrapping them to like the pole. They're covering the boys and stuff. Like it's just so ridiculous. But I feel like it's very 80s, so we'll allow it. No one's really getting hurt. Not that it's okay. I'll never say hazing's okay. Just some silly things to be happening at Degrassi. And I love the comparison to Drew. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I mostly thought it was funny how nervous Snake was. I'd say that was like the only part that I was entertained by.
Yeah, and he's huge. Like, you'd think this kid could hold his own.
Yeah, like, Dwayne is looking up at Snake, being like, I'm gonna beat you up.
Right, and then it takes, like, three of them to drag him anywhere because he's so big.
Yeah.
Like, if he just got scary for 1 second, he would survive. It'd be totally fine.
But yeah, I did think it was kind of fucked up about how Joey got in trouble with Mr. Radich when he was the victim.
Yeah, but also he looked really dumb in that moment. Crawling on the floor, pushing the pencil or whatever he was pushing. Like, that was a bad catch on his part. Like, no one was around him.
Yeah.
And I doubt they had any cameras in the school at this point. And Joey hasn't been known to be the most honest student at Degrassi.
But is Joey really just gonna dress himself up and push a banana by himself?
Oh, that's what it is, banana. According to Mr. Radich, yeah.
Yeah, I think like that was mostly just like I said, the gag that Mr. Radich is still around.
I like it. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
So that's basic high school stuff they're trying to throw in there. We need some innocent plots. I'll take it.
Yeah, I do like Dwayne's group, I guess. I like them as the antagonists, especially next season when Dwayne becomes quite important.
Right.
Oh, because they're like consistent antagonists. Like in the last episode, we talked about how I think her name is Tabby was annoying Kathleen in front of her locker, right?
Yeah.
So I like their like little upperclassmen squad.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I'm like, they're very consistent bullies, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Degrassi picking a villain and sticking with it. I feel like it doesn't happen very often. Yeah. Or they love to like flop around. Anything else with the initiation stuff?
No, it was just a little like cute little intro to Degrassi High, I think.
And that's, I agree. All right, let's move on to this music video. I think what I'm like getting from this season is they're actually pretty consistent, and I think it was really important for them to be consistent with how involved Joey is in this band, because we saw it last season with him going to the recording studio and like trying his best there, and now we're starting this season with him like, okay, let's make a music video, like that's the next step, like we have our album, we have like the recordings, let's do it. And also the fact that the biggest complaint from Caitlin is that he cares too much about himself and his band, and that is like 100% shown. That is consistent. There's like not a second where he gives a shit about Caitlin's opinion or like Caitlin at all. And I like that it's not even just like a side thing that he's doing. Like, we see it. We see the time and the effort he's putting into this and the things that he's like doing. Like, for example, when Caitlin's like, I'm not going to be in your music video in like a bikini. And then he's like, okay, cool. I'm just going to pay other girls then. Bye. Like, I don't care. Like, it just shows that he doesn't care about Caitlin at all. And he cares about his band a lot. And I think that just kind of, that's not new. I mean, think about Wheels. Wheels literally lost his parents. And Joey was like, okay, well, when can we like play guitar again together? Like, hurry it up. Get over it.
Well, yeah, because he mistreats Snake and Wheels in this by stealing their money to give to Amy and Allison.
Yeah, he just consistently puts the band ahead of everybody in his life. And we totally understand that it's important. But he's no Craig here. He's not going to go and be picked up halfway through his high school career and like go be famous. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah, now that I think about it, why why in Next Generation did we not have anything about how Joey felt about his stepson becoming famous when he never did, and he's just a used car salesman?
There is that whole episode where he low-key joins their band for a minute, and then they record Craig roasting him over the video.
Oh my god, that is so true.
We can't forget that.
I forgot.
So yeah, I do like all the music video stuff because it keeps Joey consistent. It keeps the band, which has been going on for so long at this point, like it's still happening. And it also shows us some of the like crossover friendships we have. Like, I think we were talking about that, how everybody is kind of friends with Lucy. And like, this just shows it. Like, Lucy rolls up with a camera, and so does everybody else. And they're like, let's do this.
Yeah. And the music video itself was pretty cute too. Like, they had the like snake dummy that they threw out the window, and they were like dumpster diving.
Oh my gosh, I think it was it Wheels who falls out the, was it him or Snake? I couldn't remember.
I forget, but it was, they threw a dummy out the window and the other one popped up.
Yeah, I think it was Wheels because I was for 1 second like, oh my god, that looked like real. I was like, did he fall out and then he just pops up? I'm like, okay, he's fine. That's funny.
Yeah, I do love how Lucy took control though. She's like, this is my camera, you're not gonna do any of this bullshit.
I mean, she did a great job. This was like her first debut, I feel like, as a, you know, before she makes her film, her other film.
Yes. And we'll get to her soon. But yeah, I did like the music video, Little Saga. Joey, I think Joey, when Caitlin dumped him, that might have been like when he stopped being such a dick about the band.
Right. Well, he was heartbroken at that point.
Yeah.
And he was trying to like figure all that stuff out, I guess. Well, I mean, as heartbroken as it gets is going to a strip club.
Yeah. With that, I don't understand that plot at all, honestly, because I feel like Joey would be the person to be like, "Oh my god, yeah, you're a stripper. I'm going to like flirt with you back."
Cuz he's all talk. He's all talk. He, like, never follows through. Not that he should, because he's a child. I think this plot is a very, like, 80s plot. Like, I think this was probably hilarious to people in the 80s. Like, I feel like it was more common to go to strip clubs when you were in, like, that age, probably. Because I feel like it's probably legal, like, really. Like, what, they said 18? I know it's legal 18 here, but, like, everything's 18 in Canada. So it's probably, like, way different there.
Yeah, I just don't know how the bouncer let them in.
Like, I don't even know.
Like, maybe Snake, but Wheels and Joey, definitely not.
No, and even though Snake has, like, a really, like, baby face. There we go. Yeah. That's the word. I was going to say young-looking appearance, but no, he's got a baby face on there. Yeah, I don't know. How'd you feel about the strip club plot? I didn't really have too many strong feelings about it. I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah. Like, what do we say? That happens in the Diana episode, I think. So
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, definitely low point of the season.
It just kind of goes to show that, like, Joey still sucks at being a friend, like, the end. That's about it. Because he was willing to ditch one of them immediately. He was like, what was my idea? So you gotta go away the car.
Yeah, I did think it was funny though about how Wheels and Snake are like, oh yeah, we had such a great time at the strip club, but they got kicked out. And then Joey's like, ah, I was flirted with, and that actually happened.
That's so, yeah, right. That's so good.
I guess the only other silly plot was like the getting their license thing that is in a couple episodes.
Oh. Or is like mostly Snake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I did like the extra attention that Nancy got too. Good to see her showing up in his face.
We love it, Nancy. Yeah, he was just bad. So he was just a bad driver. That's all. That was mostly it.
His legs are too long.
He just can't fit in a car. Poor kid.
But I guess more deeply than that, I guess with both Snake and Wheels, I was kind of disappointed how neither of them got anything substantial this season, especially Wheels.
Yeah, that's so funny you bring that up because I was thinking the same thing about Wheel Snake. Yeah, we haven't really gotten much from him. He has like the occasional girl plot, but like otherwise, and his brother that one time, but that was kind of it. Wheels, his whole parents, they both died. Like his parents literally died, and we are just throwing it under the rug for this season.
Yeah, like the only thing I could get with him was in the last episode where he has his little breathing exercises to calm Snake and Joey down. Like that's probably like something he learned himself dealing with his parents being dead. Wheels doesn't do anything this entire season.
No, he
We have
really
our offer.
doesn't. And I don't know why they did that to him. I wonder if they just were like, you got something really big last season, so you're good. Like,
Like give him a year off or something.
yeah, I've got no idea. I was pretty disappointed. I feel like there were some things that could have been done for him, I'm sure, but what are you gonna do? I guess the writers were trying to even out the other plots because we did get a lot of plots.
Yeah,
Like
we'll
we had a
see.
whole episode on shit plots, basically.
Yeah, we'll see what both of them, especially Wheels, do next season. Because as we keep saying, we know how things end.
We sure do. Stick with us.
Okay, here's the question. The Zits or the Zit Remedy?
For the name,
Yeah.
gotta be the zits.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Zit Remedy. Zit Remedy makes me think too much about it actually being about zits. Whereas the zits, I'm like, okay, I don't think about pimples. But Zit Remedy definitely makes me think about pimples.
I think the Zit Remedy is just so much more classic.
Ooh, okay, we're split. Maybe we should put that poll out there.
Oh, yeah. Let us know. Are you Team Zits or Team Zit Remedy?
All right, want to go into the breakout? Are we ready? Ready for this?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. So we all saw it coming. How could you not? Except Joey apparently is the only one who didn't see it coming, but we all saw it coming.
I mean, Caitlin spent several episodes saying, I want to break up with him because I like this other guy.
Yep, we saw that. We saw her with her man's Cloud. Did I
Close.
say it right? Claude. Whatever, Claude. Hanging out with him. Like I don't understand how Joey didn't catch on when she was literally sitting with him at lunch and not with her boyfriend.
Right? Because
Like
he's
at
so
one point.
self-centered.
Yeah, that's true. He was like, yeah, whatever. More time for me to talk about myself and my band then. But I mean, other than them not me not being surprised, I guess what's interesting is that the only reason they began dating was because Caitlin was interested in Joey. Joey was like, oh, cool, I guess I'm interested too. And then it seems like they spend their over it, basically, which I guess that kind of makes sense. Basically, their relationship seems like it was kind of a summer fling. And now we're at school and it's kind of fizzling out because there's other people. Joey's being himself as usual. And I just thought it was interesting that Caitlin, like, push for this relationship and then is the one to end it.
Well, I would say Caitlin only pushed for it at the very, very beginning. After Joey, what was it last season? That Joey kind of asked Caitlin to the dance, but then he ended up going with Liz anyway, right?
Well, I think he was just like, are you gonna be there? And she
Right,
was
right.
like, yeah. And then he was like, cool. And then he asked Liz out, but then Caitlin liked Joey. And then once he found out that Caitlin liked him, he was basically like, oh yeah, that's so funny. I like you too. Cool. Then I guess they were together for the summer because we don't really see like them 100% get together, I guess.
Yeah, I would say the point they officially get together is when last season at the dance, when Joey is like, oh, actually, I can't go. Then he's like, actually, I can go.
Yeah, so we start the season with it kind of being like even unclear if they're together, and then we realize they are, and not only are they together, but they're like boyfriend girlfriend. But then also Caitlin's kind of like cheating on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caitlin doesn't look too good in this, and unfortunately, she never loses that streak.
Well, I mean, Joey did kind of deserve to at least get broken up with, if not get kind of cheated on.
I agree that they definitely should have broke up. I'm totally with is it Nancy who's like on her about all that? Or who's
Maya.
Maya? Sorry, not Nancy. I got Nancy on the brain now that we mentioned her. Maya is like the only friend that's telling Caitlin that it's wrong, and like it totally is. And we have to pretend that Joey's not a giant asshole for like a minute and be like, okay, I guess he does have feelings, but does he even like Caitlin? We don't know, in my opinion. We don't really know.
I think he likes her. He just doesn't know how to be in a relationship because he's an emotionally stunted boy.
But does it surprise you the a lack of attention he gives Caitlin, considering how much, like, or how fast he was willing to move with Liz?
I guess that's true, yeah.
I just think it's one of those things where they both like the idea of each other, but then there's no actual follow through because I don't think they actually like each other. I guess. What do you think? Do you think they genuinely actually like each other?
Well, we talked about that last season, right? Where it's like, at what point did Joey actually start liking Caitlin?
And we're here again.
So I think Caitlin liked the idea of him to start, and that's why it, like, the whole saga started. But then she fell out of liking him when she actually got to know him.
Right.
As Joey didn't like her to start, got to like her, or at least liked having a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it more than anything. He was like, oh, I have that relationship, even though I'm not going to put any effort into it. He was like, I like the status symbol of having Caitlin as a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But then when she breaks up with him, he's genuinely sad. So I do think he did like her. He just took her for granted.
Ah, that's it. I agree. I think he took her for granted as well. But then he's also pulling a Jimmy here, in my opinion, and being pretty rude to her. I think Jimmy was pretty rude to Ashley when they after they broke up.
Well, when was Joey rude to Caitlin?
I feel like every time she tried to say anything at all, he'd always be like, oh, what about your other guy? Oh, what about Claude? What about, I'm never gonna get his name right. Like, I just feel like every comment he made was just like a jab at her.
I think that made sense, at least like we talked about earlier, when Caitlin tried to work with him for that project after they broke up because she felt bad. So that was probably warranted. But yeah, I guess when they're in detention together and he's being a little snarky, that maybe was not the move.
Yeah, I think it was a little unprompted, but yeah. So they break up, and no longer are they Degrassi's couple, even though they never were, because, like, realistically, have they ever actually been a couple in Degrassi? No. It's always been, like, in the summer when we don't see it.
But I do think it is pretty notable that we actually get some vulnerability with Joey this season, both with him being sad about Caitlin, and also with the learning disability that he gets diagnosed with.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it all honestly makes sense. I feel like the reaction is pretty accurate to what it would be like getting diagnosed with a learning disability like that late in his career. But also, that's pretty common for it to happen, like, in middle or high school, honestly. Like, more common than you'd think. And I'm glad that they did that, because it just shows that he's, like, not, you know, because he puts in all that work to, like, actually try to pass. And he doesn't. And it's just so frustrating. And instead of everybody being like, oh, that's just, like, him being dumb, like, there's actually a reason behind, like, why he's struggling.
Right. Like, even though I was joking earlier about how he was already held back, so why didn't they test him earlier? You could probably have just, like, explained him flunking earlier because he's the class clown and he didn't really try.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so many things that you can say, and, like, I feel like there's, unless you have, like, a good teacher saying anything about it, it's all just going to keep slipping through the cracks and you're going to make it pretty far.
So now, like, he did he say why he actually tried, or, like, maybe he's using it to cope with the breakup? But anyway, like, now that he is trying, now it's obvious that there's something deeper. So I guess it does make sense why he's getting diagnosed now.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, like I said, I think it sometimes really comes down to like one teacher noticing something, and like for him to have dysgraphia that like shows up in his writing too. So if it's his English teacher being like, okay, why is this kid's writing like this? And then you kind of make the connection, oh, that looks like dysgraphia. And then you go from there. But luckily, he will be fine. And there's no need for drama for special ed as usual.
Yeah, like, how do you feel about Caitlin being the one to kind of give him the wake-up call about, no, you're not stupid. That's why I liked you. And, like, don't drop out of school, you idiot.
Right. I'm not surprised it's her. I think it kind of needed to be her because they have been friends for a while and she's kind of the most grounded. And it's probably difficult for him to talk to his guy friends about this kind of thing. Like, we saw how Wheels wasn't very open to talking about things with his own friends either. So for Caitlin to kind of be the one to step in and tell him to get his act together, that's not like totally surprising to me. It kind of would have been cool if it was Lucy, though. I feel like they could have had a nice bond over that. She's very academic as well.
Yeah, I don't know if they really have that relationship, though. Because Joey's always making some stupid sexist remark towards Lucy.
Yeah, that's a good point. She's probably like, I don't even care what's up with you.
Yeah, like, they're friends, but Lucy definitely is just like, oh, this guy.
Right.
Like I said, I did like to see Joey actually showing some feelings this season. This is like one of the first times I think we've ever actually seen him like be vulnerable.
Yeah, finally. Needed to happen. We needed to see a change from his like usual. Anything else for Joey?
I think that's all I got.
All right. So we did it.
Yes. So that's all we got for this squad. We're going to finish things up next episode, finish up season one of Degrassi High.
Woohoo.
I'm excited. Next episode is going to be a banger.
Yeah, it is. So overall, like all these characters, you know, they're all right. They're okay. They weren't that bad. So there's it. Yeah. So this is our Caitlin and Joey saga. I feel like they're basically, you know, like I said, they're the couple of Degrassi at this time, you know, competing with, I guess, the only other two couples, realistically, Michelle and Alexa's relationships.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, we will revisit Jaitlyn sooner than later because they never stop.
They never stop, for real.
We're not done with them yet. Yeah, so we'll be back next time. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you soon.